Hurricane Katrina burst through the levees in New Orleans 10 years ago. Floodwaters instantly rendered thousands of homes uninhabitable. A housing crisis followed. At its worst, nearly 12,000 New Orleans residents were homeless. They lived on the streets and in ruined buildings. Abbott Rowland was one of them. After the storm, he was rescued by helicopter from his porch. He stayed in the Superdome for a few days, then he moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee. When he came back to New Orleans, Roland lived in an abandoned building. He was there for 6 years. He joins us, as does Martha Kegel. She is executive director of Unity of Greater New Orleans. That's a group that helped Abbott Roland find an apartment earlier this month. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's good
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
Nice to talk to you. And I wonder, Abbott, Mr. Roland, why don't we start off with you? And I know it's not an easy memory, but I wonder if you can tell us what you remember about what happened to you 10 years ago.
Katrina? Well, it was a disaster, a nightmare. It was hell.
Were you at home?
It wasn't my home. It was somebody else's home. But I figured I'd be safe over there by my best friend's house. And that's where I got rescued at. It was on Pinston and Magnolia.
And where were you when you were rescued?
On top of this high porch, balcony light.
And what do you remember about the rescue itself?
I remember the Army chopper coming to rescue me.
You'd been there about 3 days then?
Yeah. I was inside, sleeping on the sofa, covered up because it was cold and windy. For some reason or another, I wasn't even scared. You know, like some people panic and everything. I didn't.
Well, what was going through your head?
When they coming to rescue me?
Because you couldn't get out on your own.
At the time, I was able to walk and everything, swim. If I wanted to swim, I could have swam if I wanted to. But I chose not to. The water had all kind of contamination in it. On the water, I didn't want to go in it. I just waited until the Army people came.
Martha, maybe you can pick up the story from here. How did Mr. Roland come to your attention?
So we have an outreach team that has been for the last 7 years been going into abandoned buildings looking for people. At one time we had several thousand people living in abandoned buildings. And gradually the number has gone down. Actually, it's been, you know, pretty dramatic drops every year. But the team found Mr. Roland in this abandoned building. It was the same one that he was rescued from after Hurricane Katrina, but it had not been touched since then. It was still exactly as it had been, but seriously decrepit. And over the years, homeless people had been sleeping in it. It had all kinds of human debris in it, and our team found Mr. Roland in there. That was a few months ago, right, Mr. Roland?
When I came back from Tennessee, they had another hurricane and everything. I had some young ladies, young men. They had nowhere to go. I let them come stay in there with me. We survived.
You survived, although I can't imagine it was easy. Can you tell us what the conditions were like for you in this home? And I guess it was an abandoned home since Hurricane Katrina. What was it like there?
It was unlivable, but I tried to make it livable. You wouldn't believe that when I got through with it, it was so decent. I had mopped it out, cleaned it, sterilized it, and everything. I even had curtains and everything.
Did you have plumbing or electricity in there?
No.
And over the years, it really deteriorated. It was in very bad shape when we found you in there a few months ago.
Yes, it was.
Smelled bad. Over the years, a lot of people had been trying to live there. You were not in a good way.
No.
And about 3 years ago, you became very disabled.
So you walk with a walker now, is that correct?
Yes.
And you've got a new home. Can you tell us about the new place where you live now?
It's so lovely.
He has a big smile on his face when he's saying that.
Martha, what about the place that you were able to find for Abbott?
It's nothing fancy, but it's not too far away from the neighborhood that he, you know, was very attached to, where that abandoned building was. And it's got a full kitchen, very well kept up. We were just finally able to move him in last week, and it's just a whole different life for you, isn't it, Mr. Roland?
Yes, another new beginning.
Martha, do you find that people with disabilities were disproportionately hit and hurt by Katrina?
Yeah, I think when any disaster strikes, there's one thing you can be certain of, and that's that the most vulnerable people are going to be hit the hardest, and their suffering is going to continue the longest. So definitely, in 2007, we actually counted 11,600 homeless people on a single night. And for many years after that, the numbers were still quite high, but going down every year. Now we still have 1,700 in our count that we did in January, and still disproportionately disabled people. The other thing that happens in a disaster, though, is that people become disabled. And so we've seen over and over again people develop physical conditions. And in fact, Tulane has documented that the rate of heart attacks is twice as high as it was before the storm, and that has persisted even years later. Mental health, people who never had mental health issues develop severe depression, anxiety. There's many reasons why the disability rate is so high among the Katrina homeless, but those are some of them.
And as you said, you know, you went from in New Orleans and in the area 12,000 homeless people to 1,700 this year, which shows extraordinary progress. But as you said, it's still a very high rate, especially given the overall population of New Orleans. What is working against you?
Well, we have a very high poverty rate in New Orleans. We had a very high poverty rate before the storm, and that continues to be the case now. Then the other element that's been the big factor that has caused such a terrible problem of homelessness is the fact that in New Orleans, we had an extremely deeply rooted community where poor people in particular had been in the city for generations, and so had many other people. But the way that low-income people could make it was because they had so many relatives, friends, family, neighborhood network that they could rely on when they lost a job or when somebody was disabled, somebody was elderly, everybody was looking after them. When Katrina struck and the levees failed, that network was scattered literally to the four winds. People were put on airplanes, not told where they were being sent to, and never given the means to come back. So those neighborhood and extended family networks have been forever broken, and gradually they have been rebuilt a little bit, but they will never be what they were before. And what that means is that whenever a low-income person has a crisis, there's just not very many people to help take care of them.
Were you homeless after Katrina, Martha?
All of us were homeless to some extent or another. I think my family and I lived in six different places in the 7 weeks following Katrina. I was never forced to sleep on the street, but I had many days when I did not know where my family was going to sleep that night, and I had just adopted a baby the year before. So I really remember the panic. I remember the black hole of depression. And if I felt that way as a middle-class person, and I knew I was never going to actually face literal homeless sleeping out on the street, it has given me so much of a deeper understanding of what it is for someone like Mr. Roland to be homeless.
Abbott Roland, it sounds like you have kind of an extended sort of family, a family that you didn't know before, around you now helping you. Is your life, would you say it's better than it was 10 years ago prior to Katrina? Or how would you describe it now?
I call it amazing. Compared to how I lived years ago, here in this city, it's much better. much, much better.
Do you have everything you need?
Not everything that I need, but I'm happy, though. Eventually, I will get it. I'm working on it, though.
What are you thinking? What do you need?
Oh, basically, I'm telling you the straight up. I would like to have another bedroom set.
And you've got high-end taste, I think. All right, well, Martha heard you, and we all heard you. All right, very nice to speak with you. Thank you, and thank you both for coming into the studio. I know it wasn't easy. Abbott Roland and Martha Kegel, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're listening to Here and Now,